Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, March 11th. What a treat. Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show joins us for a few minutes. For those of you who don't stay up that late or don't look at the videos the next day, Jordan Klepper had the very bizarre assignment over the last year of covering the Trump campaign for a comedy show. And as it turned out, something that I'm sure he will never forget, covering the January 6th Capitol riot for a comedy show. How the heck do you do that? Just as a sample, before he comes on, here's 12 seconds of Klepper with a guy who arrived at the January 6th rally on a bicycle.
Yeah, how'd you get your bike in?
Right over here.
What kind of bike best works for a futile attempt to thwart democracy? Is that like a cross-trek situation?
That's just a weird question.
And a few weeks after January 6th, Klepper asked a pro-Trump MAGA protester who was still there what she thought about the riot, and she said,
what I saw and what there's a lot of evidence showing is that many of the initial people who entered the building violently were leftists, have Antifa.
I was here. It seemed like a lot of people were Trump supporters. 1,000 people broke into the Capitol, erected a noose outside, and tried to kill the Speaker of the House and the Vice President.
Okay, I literally think that you have added the tried to kill all those things and you have ignored.
I got to show you some videos.
You want to trade videos? Because I'd love to share video with you as well.
I'm not going to give you my email.
A small sample of the work of Jordan Klepper on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah on Comedy Central. Maybe you know some of Jordan's other work, his Comedy Central show, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, or his Comedy Central special, Jordan Klepper Solves Guns, or other things. Hey, Jordan, thanks for some time today. Welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thanks for having me.
How did you approach that assignment in general, covering Trump rallies for the 2020 campaign for a comedy show?
Yeah, you show up for a comedy show and you end up at an insurrection. I can't say that was the plan to begin with. I think initially when I, you know, drew that card, we were just following Trump as he began to run 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. And it was fun. You wanted to get the flavor. It was a new idea. This man who was a reality TV star was suddenly having these giant rallies and people were excited. So initially it was like that's where the party was. And eventually that party turned into a full-on gala, which then turned into a movement of sorts. In what direction? I'll let the viewers decide.
And you covered January 6th in Washington for The Daily Show. Of course, you didn't know it would turn into the insurrection that it became. What did you think you were going to cover?
Well, I will say we knew it was going to get a little bit dicey. I covered, along with the crew that I had out with, the Million MAGA March a few weeks earlier. I say that with quotations, which is hard to do, hand quotes on the radio, but I don't quite think there were a million people there. That was the self-proclaimed Million MAGA March. But when we were there at the Million MAGA March, a lot of people showed up, a lot of people were angry, and they were talking about doing violent things even then. So when we arrived on January 6th, we had four security guards right around us. We knew it was going to be dicey. We knew people were going to be dressed to impress and to intimidate. And so I can't say I thought they were going to get inside the Capitol, but I knew people were there looking for a fight. We had saw that earlier, and we found ourselves actually at the Capitol outside the gates when they broke through the gates and went up towards the Capitol because we knew that's where people would end up. We were just shocked that it appeared as if security didn't see that coming. That's as much as we did. But who knows? Comedy Central has a great intel program, and maybe we were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you can be the next director of national intelligence when you're done with your comedy career.
Fingers crossed.
What we heard in the clip there of you with MAGA bicycle guy on January 6th, asking him how a bicycle helps him with a futile attempt to thwart democracy, and he was ticked off at you for that question. Can you reflect on that moment or how that represents some of your body of work?
People being ticked off at me does represent my body of work if you were to get it in a nutshell, there it is. I think that day, when you arrive with a camera at a MAGA protest or rally, you're public enemy number one. Now, that doesn't mean people don't want to talk to you in the camera. People want their voice heard, and they often want to engage in some sort of discussion or fight. What I've noticed over the last 4 or 5 years is things have gotten dicier and dicier, especially post-election. where suddenly you weren't going to a celebration of the underdog winning, you were going to people angry that they lost. And so it's not new for me to get wayward glances or aggressive behavior. The last few months, though, it definitely elevated. We were traveling with security. We've had to drop our cameras and run down alleys as of late. And even on January 6th, as we were covering and talking to people as they were approaching the Capitol, running up the Capitol, our cameraman was assaulted by a man in military fatigues. That's sort of become par for the course, which is sort of a sad state of affairs, that we're just trying to ask questions. And yes, we come from a comedy network, but I think that was most intimidating and aggressive from their perspective was, I think, the fact that we were covering it at all.
Didn't Trump once tell one of his rallies, if you beat up a satirist, I'll pay your medical bill, your legal bills?
Well, I have to look into that. I don't think he knows the word satirist.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He definitely implied it.
Now, how else did January 6th go for you? Like that scene with MAGA bicycle guy was at the rally before the riot. What did you do once the serious stuff started going down?
Well, like any, good fake journalist, I got into my Subaru and I drove as fast as I could back home to New York. I believe that's what all the heroes do. we were prepped to be there. Like, we were there all day and we're covering folks, especially we were there at the monument when the Proud Boys decided to leave the Trump speech and head towards the Capitol. We followed them. And like I said, it was getting pretty dicey. We were right there at the Capitol. I had talked to a man wielding a pitchfork. Our cameraman got assaulted. And there were flashbangs going off. There was smoke grenades that were being detonated at the time. It was a surreal situation. I think it's when people ask me about it, I have to hold two feelings in my head at the same time, which is like sadness about what was happening to our democracy at the time and absolute idiocy at the same time. Like, I interviewed a man on a Segway riding up the Capitol trying to breach the walls. Hmm. I mean, it's a comical situation if it weren't so sad. And so by the time things began to get more and more violent, we did leave. We got our interviews and we got on out there feeling it wasn't quite safe for us. Plus, parking is just astronomical in D.C. And if you don't get out before 5, you're really going to pay through the nose.
There weren't special insurrection parking zones?
You'd be surprised. They really didn't think ahead on that either. And that's something I think we need to focus on. The media has not been paying attention to the parking planning in D.C. They could have been much more thoughtful to those of us who were there.
Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show with us. What was it like on the finished product of The Daily Show that night? I was actually on anchoring national special coverage on public radio, and it was hard enough on the serious side. It was a very unfunny day in our nation's history. So what did you actually do, and what did Trevor Noah do on The Daily Show that night?
I'll tell you what was strange about that. So because we're doing a field piece and we don't quite have the infrastructure to turn things around necessarily that night, this piece was going to air a day or two later. So I did leave as things were happening, and basically how we work is we head home, we send back footage, and we start compiling stuff basically from when we can get on the phone with the editor. And I was driving from D.C. up to New York listening in real time to news about what was happening at the Capitol. And I think the piece was changing as I was driving. I think we left, and again, at the time we left, they hadn't breached the inside of the Capitol. No one had died at that point. At that point, it felt completely futile, that it was just people, it was going to be people yelling and barking outside the Capitol for the rest of the day. But that story continued to change. And I think as we were putting together that piece, we had to shift some of our assumptions of this just being perhaps a bunch of people with pitchforks and hidden weapons gaining no access and nobody getting hurt to something that really did have tragic consequences. And, again, it's a weird target, and comedy has shifted so much in the last 4 years. So, you look at that footage, you tell the story that you want to tell, and you try to be reflective of the experience you had through the lens that we have. But January 6th was a whole new ball of wax for us on the editing table.
You're originally from Michigan, right?
I am, yes. Kalamazoo, Michigan. Born and bred.
Can you do a sort of next generation Michael Moore thing and explain to the rest of us why your home state has such wacky politics, like those militias who wanted to kidnap the governor and things like that?
Oh, you want to talk about my cousins now? Is that what you're saying?
It's your cousins. Now I know who to blame.
There you go. Yeah. Michigan is, Michigan, like a lot of places in America, you can go 100 yards and politics shift just like that. I come from Kalamazoo, which is a college town, a fairly liberal town, but, 5 miles outside of Kalamazoo, and it's farm country. It's cherry country. It's hunting country. I grew up, my grandpa was a proud NRA member. He took me out shooting at hubcaps set against Lake Michigan dunes. I say that now. That might be illegal, so don't come after me or my grandfather. But that was just sort of how we grew up. And guns was something that it's an issue that I've covered a lot for The Daily Show and a special that I did, and I care a lot about. I come to New York, and I understand the push for gun control, and I am right there behind it. And I go back to Michigan, and it's a much more complicated issue. Guns mean a very different thing in places in the Midwest, much like Kalamazoo, much like suburban Michigan. And I think that's where you see what happens at the Capitol, and you're like, yeah, that's – Michigan is full of multitudes. Walt Whitman would have loved it there. You have a little bit of America in every corner, and half of it's trying to overtake the Capitol.
That multitudes reference, some people got it, some people didn't. You realize that, right?
I mean, this is why you come on NPR. I'm going to drop, a Walt Whitman reference. WNYC fans can't. I mean, this is what you're paying for. I know it's pledge drive time. If you want to hear this kind of Whitman reference from a satirist such as me, and for us to bandy about words like satire, pay for it. I think it's time. I think that recurring membership is what is the way to go. That's all I'm saying. Make your pledge now.
Unsolicited. So let me ask you about your Comedy Central special, Jordan Klepper Solves Guns, because I see you tweeted this week that it has something in common with The Godfather. Can you lay that out for us?
Well, I believe that special just became available on Paramount Plus, which The Godfather also became available. So sometimes it's difficult to find past Daily Show shows or the Solves Guns special that I did. And now if you have Paramount Plus, you can watch The Godfather and you can watch my special. I would highly recommend watching my special first because it is in the news right now. The House Bill H.R. 8 is up and a background checks is yet again in the news. We might get some progress towards actually trying to make America a little bit safer. So I'm excited that that is actually being talked about again, or at least it should be more so.
And I see you tweeted that both your special and The Godfather leave you contemplating lax gun laws and distrustful of old toilets. So I will skip the second part of that and just ask, for people who haven't seen your special yet, how do you solve guns?
Well, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a chance I don't quite get as far as I had hoped. although I will say the title was tongue-in-cheek, but the reality of that special was there's just so much more common ground on the gun issue than the NRA or a lot of gun lobbyists would have you believe. I think more often than not, we approach issues like 50% of America thinks this and 50% of America thinks that. When it comes to guns, and part of the fun that I had with the special was trying to talk to my family back in Michigan about their relationships with guns. And what I tried to dispel was this fallacy that, like, gun owners are against background checks. Most gun owners, they support background checks. They don't want gun to the hands of somebody who is unsafe. That makes them look bad as well. And I think that narrative is corrosive to productive gun control measures because we really think like, oh, this is a left-right issue. It's like, no, if we really listen to most Americans, they want other Americans to be safe. And I think if we can focus on that, you can solve, quote-unquote, this gun issue by listening to what people want, which is a safe place where their kids don't have to worry about getting hurt.
We just have a minute left. So now that the Trump era is over, at least as president, what's the Jordan Klepper beat at The Daily Show now?
Well, for me, it's going to be a lot of just R&R, relaxing as much as I can. It looks like our democracy is intact, better than ever. No, of course, I'm kidding. I still have a pessimistic view on where our country's heading in many ways. I do think Trump is out of office, but Trumpism is here to stay. And even though he's not tweeting, he sends his tweets in the form of Matt Gaetz or Kevin McCarthy regurgitating his point of view and kind of taking over that party. And so for the next few months, I'm looking to follow, like, what happens to the Republican Party, what happens to the POV of QAnon and the Americans who feel left out by what happened on January 6th. I think it's still a story to see where we go from here, and I'm looking to cover that.
Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show and the comedy special, Jordan Klepper Solves Guns. This was great. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes.
Brian, thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.